Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, we're going to focus in on our text from 1 Corinthians chapter 9 this morning, our epistle lesson. I don't think I'm going out on a limb to say this, but in the time of Paul's writing to the city of Corinth and these Christians in Corinthians, this culture in this time, they love to live in the extreme, to live with boldness in Corinth. If you had an opinion, you didn't just hold it back to yourself. You announced it to everyone and screamed it out loud. If you were behind a cause, you didn't just quietly support it behind the scenes, but you, with your hands and feet, actively got involved. To not be extreme or to not be bold actually made it in the city of Corinth. It made you in a position in which you would not be noticed. Well, you could almost say many of those characteristics I just listed also fit today's day and age. Isn't it true that if you have an opinion, it's not so good to just keep it to yourself? You're supposed to announce it to everyone and post it on social media so everyone knows what you think. And if you're running for any kind of position in the community or any kind of political position, it's not good to run on that mediocre approach of compromise, but you really got to take an extreme position to get noticed and recognized so that people will follow you. And if you don't do those things, you might be not noticed. You might just fall into the mix of everything else that's happening around you. Well, the worst thing that could happen, and especially as we look at this text in Corinth, would be that if you were labeled as weak and ineffective, unnoticed. What do we do as Christians when we take a look at this entire letter, actually, from Corinthians, and even this little part of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we see that the Apostle Paul says that he has been called weak by the Corinthians? What are we supposed to do with that? Weakness? My goodness. Now, there are a couple of reasons why Paul was called weak, and I want to point them out here. The first reason isn't so much in the text that Aaron read just a few moments ago. It's actually in the verses that precede our reading for today. Paul was called weak by the Corinthians because he refused a salary from them. Why would you be called weak for doing such a thing? Well, here's why. In Paul's day, there were four ways in which teachers were paid. Some teachers were paid directly from those that they taught. They pooled money together and they paid them. These were the sophists. They were very highly respected in Paul's day. They were the highest of the highs, the elites. They didn't have to go out and work with their hands in any other fashion. They were paid directly by those that they taught. Then below them were the philosophers. They were paid by a patron, a very specific person. And the philosophers would teach the children of that patron. And then if they had spare time, they would come back into the community and teach to a larger group of people. But they were funded primarily by the patron. Then below the philosophers was a larger group of people. They were called the cynics. They supported themselves by going out and begging in the streets in the morning all the way to the afternoon. And then in the evening, they would teach what they held deeply in their heart. Those were the cynics. There were quite a few of those. Then finally, there was a fourth category of teachers. These were the people who actually worked with their hands in maybe a trade or a skill, something like tent making, or perhaps in textiles. They weren't paid directly by those that they taught. They worked with their hands. Now, those kinds of teachers were not as well respected as the sophists. You see, Paul, in his approach to the people in Corinth, is interesting because he does not accept payment from the Corinthians. And these Corinthians came back and were saying, likely to Paul, hey, Paul, the sophists are the special teachers. You're not accepting payment. and they question his apostleship and question whether he is strong enough to be a great teacher, if they should even listen to him. So they label him as weak. And there's a second reason why Paul is labeled as weak here in this letter, and it's more specific to the verses that were read by Aaron here for this weekend. And here it is. Paul was perhaps seen, was most definitely seen as wishy-washy by the Corinthians. Why wishy-washy? Well, Paul says in our text here in verse 22 that he became all things to all people. Right before he says that in verse 22, he lists those four kind of groups that he became all things to. The first group were the Jews. And we know that Paul on occasion became one with them. In Acts 20, we know that he, as he walked around with three other Jews, he practiced some of the Old Testament ceremonial laws and he purified himself in the temple. The second group that he became one with and adapted to them were the group, it was the group that was under the law. This was a larger group than the Jews. This included some Gentiles as well. But these were the individuals who held to those Old Testament ceremonial laws, and Paul adapted when he was with them. The third group is the largest group, almost the largest group. Paul says he became one to those who were without the law. And we know that Paul did this because when he met with some people, he didn't practice the Old Testament ceremonial laws. He sat down and had dinner and breakfast with Gentiles and did things that the Gentiles did. But then the fourth category, Paul says that he became one with the weak. And then he goes on to say he became one with all people. Stand up for a group. Who are you with? You can see the Corinthians saying. And they labeled him as weak, even associating with the weak, as he says in our text. Why did Paul do this? Why, in a culture in which it was to be effective, meant to be bold and to be strong and to be extreme, why would Paul come across as weak? But more specifically for you this weekend, why should you imitate Paul? Why? Again, in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, in which he ties together all his arguments of chapters 8 through 10, Paul says this, "Be imitators of me." Well, the reason why Paul was perhaps weak was because he wanted to save some for the sake of the gospel. Paul, above all things, had a passion for people, no matter who they were, Jew, Gentile, those who were weak. And he was willing to do anything so that they could live in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and be drawn to his love. And to spell this out to the degree that Paul would go, in verses 24 through 27 in our text, Paul uses athletic imagery. Now, at this time in Corinth, there was something that was akin to the Olympic Games. The Olympic Games were going on during Paul's writings, but here in Corinth, there was a second kind of games. It was called the Isthmian Games. And it was almost as large as the Olympic Games. It held 10 events. Those who participated in the Isthmian Games would actually dedicate 10 months of their life to self-discipline. We know this from writings. What would they do? Well, obviously they would steer clear of any bad habits. Eating the wrong kind of foods, not getting rest and sleep. And we know that they probably even set aside some good things so that they could focus on winning the prize of the Isthmian Games. Now, what was the prize of the Isthmian Games? I know you're just waiting with bated breath. What did you win if you won one of those events? Here it is. A piece of withered celery. Yikes! I don't even like tasting celery. You mean to tell me for 10 months, People practice self-discipline of all kinds to get a piece of withered celery? Are you kidding me? This is what Paul's saying in these verses. Paul is saying, if you're willing to do self-discipline for 10 months for a piece of celery, how much more discipline should we show to bring someone into Jesus' love, into Jesus' kingdom, and to live under his grace? So much more. But how do we do that? How do we apply everything that I talked about today? What does it look like? Well, one thing is to know deeply that weakness isn't necessarily a bad thing. Weakness may be a good thing. In fact, weakness is how we were brought into salvation. That's how Jesus went to work for us. Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus had all power, dominion, and authority on heaven and earth. And what we know is that Jesus refused the glory, so ultimately he could be put in a position of severe weakness. Jesus was beaten and flogged, and then he was hung on a cross or hung on a tree. You know, to be hung on the tree was actually the weakest position that anyone could have for a couple of reasons. One, physically, you saw the person just absolutely exhausted. Secondly, it was humiliating because it was on public display for everyone to see. But thirdly, it had religious connotations. You see, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 23, it says this, "Cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree." In fact, in the Old Testament, we know that when you really wanted to just completely eliminate someone from any kind of memory or remembrance, what you did was you killed them by hanging them on a tree. And that's what Jesus did. He hung on the cross, hung on the tree. Ultimately, he had weakness to open up eternal salvation for you. Now, I want to make sure to get that right. He wasn't weak just to be weak or self-effacing. That's not why he was weak. He was weak so that he could open up salvation for you. He had you in mind when he died on the cross. Now back to that question, how can we apply all of this to our life? I don't think what Paul's saying here is for us to be weak or self-effacing or not heard in the community or anything like that. But I think what Paul is talking about here is this. How can we live lives of self-sacrifice for others, for the sake of the gospel, to draw more people to Jesus? This church, Peace Lutheran Church, has a rich history of pastors and members living in a self-sacrificial way. I know some of them. I didn't know this person that I'm going to name right now, but I've heard a lot of stories. Pastor Earl Herring. Pastor Earl Herring came to Peace in 1974, and when he came, the church could not fund his salary. Pastor Herring worked out a deal with the church in which he'd serve half-time at this church, and then half-time he worked in Kings Valley and worked as a nighttime watchman for a sawmill and worked that way for 4 years. And I imagine that Pastor Herring in that sawmill brought a lot of people to Jesus and people into Peace Lutheran Church. But you see, it took self-sacrifice. I'm thinking of another person, Pat Clark. I did Pat's memorial service. Many of you know Pat. Pat lived in Beaver Creek and would travel horseback up until the early 90s to Peace, and she would teach Sunday school and did it for decades. Self-sacrifice. I think of Cecil Riker. Janet, that's your father. Cecil, the stories are told about Cecil. I didn't know Cecil, but the stories are interesting about Cecil. Cecil collected old newspapers in Corvallis and did it weekly. Did it faithfully and contributed the proceeds from those newspapers to the church. Now, what I know about those people is they didn't do it for themselves, and many people would call them weak in the way they did it. But you see, they did it ultimately so that more people, for the sake of the gospel, could come into Jesus' love. It's a passion for people. How can we do that today? I heard a sad story just a couple weeks ago from a pastor who sent out an email to 254 of his members, he said, asking them to just spend 2 hours. And by the way, this was before the events of this past year. This happened a couple years ago, and he sent an email out to 254 members and asked them to spend 2 hours with one of their 15 shut-ins at their church. And out of 254, how many do you think responded to him? 3. And one of them was his wife, he said. My friends, I'm so thankful that here at Peace, I know that that would never happen. But let us be thinking about ways that we can self-sacrifice so that we can join Paul, not just in being weak, but in living this philosophy that we may become all things to all people so that some might be saved for the sake of the gospel. Amen.